the first book in the Bible, which is Genesis. I'll give you the chapter in just a moment. This morning I want to speak to you on your most famous ancestor, a missionary. Remember now, a missionary is anybody who has Christ in their heart. A mission field is anybody that doesn't have Christ in their life, vitally reigning as Lord and Master, not just religious, but redeemed. Now let me ask you, do you have any famous ancestors? I don't. What's your claim to fame this morning? And I don't know how much fame there is, but my mother tells me, her name was Aldridge before she was married, that the Aldridges were related to the Wrights, and the Wrights were directly related to the Wright brothers who flew the first airplane flight, I think was at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. Don't quote me on that. But so if there's any blood in me that is famous blood, it would be airline blood, the friendly skies of the Wright brothers. All right. Other than that, I'm bereft. Has anyone passed anything down to you from their ancestors? Maybe great-grandpa's old Civil War sword. You still got it. And grandpa used this at the Battle of Shiloh, or Antietam, or Chancellorsville. Or did great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother leave you some china, beautiful chinaware in there? It's all flowered and hand-painted, and it looks just beautiful, an heirloom. Nan and grandpa have given us some dresses that are about 100 years old and a beaver hat, and we can dress up like that when we want to. And Nancy did once for a party or something. I took a picture. It looked like Whistler's mother. She was like this, and I took a picture. Now, have they left you any inheritance? You'd know that. Have your ancestors left you any inheritance, any promises, any privileges, any obligations? They're still coming down the family tree to you. Anybody saying, I remember your great-great-great-great-grandfather said, and as long as there's someone in this family called Smith, the Smith line will thus and thus. Is anybody talking like that to you? Probably not. But I want you to know that by the time you're done, that every one of you are in direct line with a great ancestor, and you have privileges and obligations all the way from that great ancestor of yours. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. God had to begin with somebody. He had a godly line. Adam and Eve were born, and then they decided they were better gods than God. So they decided to run the garden their way, and they blew it. And from Adam and Eve came two sons, Cain and Abel. And the godly line, if you have Adam and Eve up here, you have the godly line coming down through Abel and Seth and Enoch and Noah and Methuselah, and that was the godly line, and they lived for the Lord. Over off here was the son, was Cain and his descendants. And the descendants of Cain were the evil line. They lived for hell, the other lived for heaven. And so they had all their line coming down here, and you can check that in the book of Genesis, that from Adam and Eve you get the godly line and you get the ungodly line. It goes right on through to this very day, so that here in this very congregation we have either the sons of Abel or the sons of Cain. The sons of Abel live for heaven, the sons of Cain live for hell. That does not mean they're living the worst lives possible. Simply means their life, like Cain, Cain was a now man. I want it now, I want my food now, I want my, and so as Esau, he was a now man. I live for the now. Give me that pottage now. I don't care about these spiritual blessings later on. Who knows about them anyway? Give me the bowl of soup, I'm hungry. So we have the now people and the other people who are the now and hereafter people. It's not that the hereafter people aren't now, but the now and hereafter, whereas the now people are now and there's not much future, all right? Well, God had to start somewhere, so he decided to start with Abraham. And Abraham lived in Ur of Chaldee. Now, Ur of Chaldee in Babylonia was not some low-down mud flat. They had libraries, they had public baths, they had good civilization, they had great big buildings, they had temples called Ziggurats, and they worshipped all the stars, etc., etc. The place was full of idolatry. And God said, I'll start with Abraham by his own sovereign choice. And he said, Abraham, I want to talk to you. Now, somewhere here's Abraham with a staff in his hand, taking a flock out to get a drink of water and feed them. And God speaks to him, and out of all the idolatry around there, God confirms to him that, look, I'm the one true God. All these other people worshiping idols around here, they worship demons and mud and stone and rocks and everything. And it's just an echo in their hearts of knowing there's a true God. Now, they don't know who he is, but I'm the one they're looking for. Now, I'm revealing myself to you, and I want to make you some promises. Now, God is self-confirming when he speaks. So Abraham, although he could have been like Paul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus and say, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Lord say, "I'm the true God, Jehovah." Just like Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against me. Now, just get with the program and let me be your Lord and Master." So God speaks to Abraham, chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. "The Lord had said to Abram," which is another word for Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to a land I will show you, and I'll make you into a great nation. And I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whosoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." That's pretty heavy stuff. Please notice that the conditions to follow God in the Old Testament are the conditions to follow God in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him put me before father and mother and brother and sister and wife and children and family in his own life. Love me first and you'll love them more, but I must come first." When you love me first, you can love everybody else more because you're in the right relationship to me, then you're going to be in the right relationship to your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your husband, your job, your money, and everything you own. But if I'm not in first place, it's like button one and hole two, and no matter how you go up and down that shirt, your life will never straighten out. There'll always be a kink here and a lump there, and you can work around it, and you can wear your shirt if you want with button two and hole one, and we'll look at you, it's okay. But all through your life, you go around trying to get your shirt straightened out, and it won't happen. Until Christ, who is button one, goes in hole one, which is your life, number one, then you come down that life, and everything starts to smooth out, everything starts to take its rightful place. And the Lord says to Abraham, "Come after me. I want you to put me before your father, your mother, your inheritance, your wife, and everybody else." "Oh, wait a minute, Lord. My father lived in Ur of Chaldee. My mother lived in Ur of Chaldee. My grandfather lived in Ur of Chaldee. My great-grandfather lived in Ur of Chaldee. And I'm in line for the inheritance. Now, we'll split it three ways with my brothers, but hey, it's going to be a real piece of change." And God said, "Really not interested, Abraham. This is what the condition is." And he didn't go through that little imaginary conversation I just had. He said, "All right, Lord. Go to a land, I'll show you." Big promises here. We got a big God. I mean, here's this man all by himself in the middle of the Middle East somewhere over in Babylonia, and God's saying, "I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to make you have a great number of people and descendants. You'll be a blessing. And through you, all the people on the earth will be blessed." Now, that's heavy. One man said, he got a staff in his hand, robe on his shoulders, watching 30 sheep, and he said, "I'm going to be a blessing to the whole world." We don't even have a Western Union yet to tell them about it. But that's how it goes. Now, just so God would know that he was really serious about this thing, he said it several times. Turn to chapter 18, and we're going to be using our Bibles today in a more usual way than usual. All right? Chapter 18. Verse 17. "Then the Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on the earth will be blessed through him.'" There he goes again. "For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just." What's he say? He will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on the earth will be blessed through him. Heavy stuff. Well, God said, "Look, I'm not only going to say it twice to you, Abraham, I'm going to say it three times, and this time I'm going to add something to it." Chapter 22 of Genesis, please, verse 15. "The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said," speaking for God, "I swear or take an oath by myself." That is God saying, "Now look, I'm going to say something to you. Suppose I say to you, I'm going to give you $5, and you look at me with a jaundiced eye, and I say, look, I promise you. So number one, I told you what I was going to do, and I should be as good as my word. And secondly, when I say, look, that may have bothered you a bit, but I promise you, on my character, I promise you." Now, God says, "Look, I've said it to you twice, Abraham. I'm going to say it again. And this time, I'm even going to add an oath." Now, when President Reagan took his oath, he puts his hand on the Bible, and he takes an oath before whom? Supreme Court Justice. By the way, it could be anybody, including your father. If you want, any citizen can do it. Anybody can do it. He takes an oath not to the Supreme Court Justice. He's taken an oath before God, who's superior, who hears his words, that he will keep these words that he's taken an oath from. And so he takes an oath basing it upon the authority and character of another God. Now, how does God take an oath? Who's he going to appeal to? I mean, we take an oath and we mean, now, God, you hear these words and make them come to pass and hold me to it. And God says, how am I going to take an oath? I told you, I'm God, and I told you I'm going to do it, but I'm going to tell you something. I am going to take an oath. And if you're wondering how I'm going to take an oath, I will swear by my own unchanging nature. I am God, and my nature is my guarantee. I've already told you my word, but I want you to know, Abraham, I'm dead serious about this, and I'll put my very oath to it. Ooh, heavy, triple heavy. Verse 15. The angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear or take an oath by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants, or King James, seed, will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your seed, offspring, or descendants, all nations on earth will be blessed. And he says, if this rattles you, Abraham, I'm even taking an oath. I'm backing my word with an oath, for I can swear by no higher. Well, Abraham got old and died. Maybe God forgot what he's talking about. Or Abraham had, but so along came his son Isaac, who was a miracle baby, born when his father was 90, his mother 100 when his mother was 19, dad was 100. And so get Genesis 26, please. This time he's talking to Abraham's son. Abraham's gone to heaven. Now he's talking to Isaac, his son. Chapter 26. And we'll start with verse 2 there. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands. It will confirm the oath. Oh, there we go. I haven't forgotten it, Isaac. I hope you haven't. And I will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Well, Isaac got old and he died, and maybe God forgot what he said to Abraham and Isaac. So along came his son Jacob, and God said, nope, I haven't forgotten it. Genesis 28:14, please. I'll take it from 13 there. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord and God of your father Abraham, really his grandfather, and the God of Isaac, your father. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you're lying. This is Jacob when he had that dream, went to sleep on the ground there. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Now, five times God puts this out, and once with an oath. He's really serious about this. I doubt if you'd be hard-pressed to find something that God promised five times to the same man and his descendants. All right, well, what's this tell us? It tells us that God made promises. First of all, God made promises to Abraham, and he made a promise to him when he was a pagan idolater, won him to himself on the same conditions that Christ called people to himself. Get out of here, put me before your father, mother, sister, brother, wife, and family. And I'll give you this land, and I'll make your seed great and numerous. And then he added, and I will use your seed to be a blessing, you and your seed to bless the whole world. Number two, what's it tell us? That Abraham had millions of descendants. How many Jews are there? Millions. And don't forget, Ishmael was also begotten by Abraham, and he is the father of all Arabs in the world, and there are a few Arabs around. And when God said to you, nations shall come from you, he meant it. And along came the Hebrew race from him, and along came the Ishmaelites, and all the Arabs came from him. Granted, they don't get along very well, but they all say, Father Abraham. And when you sent us on that trip to Israel back in 77, and we came through the burial place of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's a holy place. They're all buried there. It's holy to the Muslim, to the Arab. It's holy to the Jew. And it has meaning to the Christian. Now, that's about all the kind of people around the world, Gentiles, Arabs, and Jews. You've about got it. And his name is great among them all. I mean, you know, that God kept his word. You name to me one name that's sacred to all three people equivalently like that. You won't find it. Vast stretches of nations. All right? Now, so unto you and your seed will I make you a blessing to the world. Now, who is the seed that he talked about? Please turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Verse 16 of chapter 3 of Galatians. Paul says to the Galatians, explain to them the Old Testament, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say and to seeds, plural, meaning many people, but quote, and to your seed, end of quote, meaning one person who is Christ. So when God said, through you and your seed, I will bless all nations, he showed us that the human descent of Jesus Christ, his human ancestry, was traceable right back to Abraham. And that though Abraham had many children by the flesh, whom I've just indicated, which was all right, their seed too, we'll see in a minute. But the preeminent seed was Jesus Christ, who was to be the blesser of all the nations of the world. So Abraham, you believed me when you were there stark by yourself. You were there and you couldn't even have a child. I gave you a miracle child with Isaac. You were 100, your wife was 90. She laughed, said, oh, Sarah, have a baby. And God said, you laughed. Oh, I didn't laugh. He said, you did laugh. And furthermore, don't go, because we're going to name him. Isaac is what you're going to call him. Every time you see him, you go, God did it. His name means Isaac, and Isaac means laughter. That's what it means. And so Isaac was given to you as a promised seed, small s, to show you that there is the seed coming, Jesus Christ, and he's in lineal descent directly from you, Abraham, and in you and in your seed, all people are blessed through Jesus Christ. Number one, God made promises to Abraham. Number two, Abraham had descendants, but he had the descendant, the seed, Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:16. Number three, not all Abraham's children are his children. Well, whose are they then? Well, they're his. Well, you just said they weren't. Well, let's take a look at it. Galatians is still there. Who are Abraham's children? Galatians 3, and come to verse 26, 25, we'll take it. Well, there we are, 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ because you repented and believed have clothed yourself or put on Christ as your Lord and Master. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. And if you don't think these are the divisions of the Greco-Roman world, and in many cases today, then you're missing it. You can't imagine the race prejudice of the first century between Greek and Jew, and barbarian, and Scythian, and slave, and free, and everything else. And Paul throws a hand grenade right here. Why, he says, you're all sons of God through repentance and faith in Christ Jesus. Why, there is neither Greek nor Jew, slave nor free, male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus, because you all came through the same blood of Christ. You all came through repentance and faith. And that the fact that you're a man or a woman or a Greek or a Jew has absolutely no bearing. You must all come through repentance and faith in the seed Christ Jesus. So that makes you all one. One in your approach, one in your Savior, one in your forgiveness, one in everything. Now this one. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. Welcome, fellow Jews. If you have faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master, whether you're Jew or Gentile, you are then Abraham's children, Abraham's seed. Please turn to Romans chapter 9. Paul has just written this wonderful letter to his Gentile friends and believers in Rome, and he takes a little breather in chapter 9. He starts to talk about his Hebrew nation. Verse 1. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. I'm using the NIV, by the way. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. All right? Theirs is the adoption of sons. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God, over all, forever praised and blessed. Amen. Now, he said, but don't be discouraged, even though they've had these tremendous privileges, they've had all these privileges, all this spiritual light, and they haven't yet seen the Messiah as Christ has come, but he said, it's all right, my heart's broken for them, I'm still praying and yearning for them, let me tell you some more things. It's not as though, says he in verse 6, it's not as though God's word has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. In other words, verse 8, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. He said God promised Abraham the seed, Jesus Christ. He promised to make his seed physically, like the stars of the sky, the sands of the sea, Jews plus Arabs, all those people. Now he says Abraham did have seed. He had physical seed, the Israeli people. But within Israel, and now within the Gentiles, there is another seed which he really meant, which was God's children. Those who have believed savingly in Messiah, Mashiach, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Kurios to the Gentile, Mashiach to the Gentile, to the Jew, is a child of Abraham by faith, for he is the father of the faithful, Romans chapter 4. He is the father of the Gentile, he's the father of the Jew, in faith for all those that believe, he's the father of believing people, whether they be Gentile or Jew. And so, dear one, if you're born of God, you are Abraham's seed, spiritually. Paul says, he's not a Jew who is circumcised in the flesh, since that's the sign of that covenant contract God made with Israel, and the man was the head of the whole family, and he represented the whole family. But he is a Jew who is circumcised in his spirit, whose heart has been born again. He is a real Jew, Romans chapter 2. Now, that's interesting. That's very interesting. And you want to take that right out through your eschatology, keep that in mind. Now, I'm not on that this morning, but I'm merely pointing out to you as I go by. Now, Peter, who was the apostle to the Jews, by the way, wrote this. Now, you wonder where I'm going. Just stay with me. It's going to come out in the end, okay? Peter, writing to the Gentiles, and the apostle to the Jews now, says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him, Jesus, who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You're God's Israel. Those from Jew and Gentile background who've come to the same saving faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was all broken up about this thing. He said, my people, Israel. I said, it's great grief. He said, I could wish myself damned that they'd be saved. They had the covenants to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They were adopted as a nation when they were down in Egypt and in bondage. And God said, I'll adopt Israel. I'll make him like my son. I'll take him out of there. They got the Ten Commandments through Moses. They had the temple worship. They had the glory of the miracles for 40 years. They had the promise of the seed and seeds. They had the promise even of the Holy Spirit given to them. I don't have time to go into it, but it's there. God had to begin somewhere. He began with Abraham, this Hebrew named Abraham, and he gave them this race, brought them together, and gave Israel all these privileges. Only the mistake Israel made was to think, well, privilege light automatically makes me a privileged person. We are God's children. We are God's people. And they were small p until they come to the Messiah, then it's capital people. And they had these privileges. But Paul's weeping. He's crying. His heart's broken. He said, don't you understand? They were all given you to bring you right up to the seed, Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you today. What privileges have you had? What privileges have I had? If Paul mourned for the Hebrew, what would he do for us? We've had all the Hebrews had plus the New Testament. Let me ask you, dear Catholic friends here this morning, how many times have you heard in church that scripture? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. How many times have you heard that in your church service? And let me ask you, have you beheld him and received him as your own Lord and Savior? Not some outside external service, here or any other church. Behold the Lamb of God, not Trinity Church, not the Catholic Church. Behold the Lamb of God. Have you seen him? Have you seen him and said, Lord, be my Lord. You are my sin sacrifice. You, thou blessed Lamb, died for me, and you died one whole complete sacrifice, and you can come into my heart, and I can know that I'm saved and know I'm forgiven. That's the promise. How many times have you heard that, dear Catholic friends? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Regardless of what else came into your mind, he is presented to you. And you, dear Methodists, you dear Methodists, you say we have John for our father, John Wesley. And the Jews say we have Abraham for our father. And you may say we have the Pope for our father. And we have John Wesley for our father. He's not going to be Methodist. Indeed. And did you read what your founder said? He said, as I listened to the scriptures, my heart was clearly warmed, and I became a child of God. And now, can you say that the same? You've been in Methodist Church 30, 40, 50 years. Been a Methodist all my life. Has your heart been strangely warm with the love of Christ and bring him in as your life as Lord and Savior? What then profiteth the Jew, Paul says? Much every way. What then profiteth to be a Methodist? Much every way. We have John for our father. Indeed, have you listened to your father, John? John Wesley, if you would listen to him. He'll point your way to the Lamb of God. An ordained clergyman in the Anglican Church who went as a missionary to Georgia to help the Indians back in 1700 and something, and alas, after he worked with them a while, he sat down and said, I have come to convert the Indians. Alas, who shall convert me? Confirmed, ordained Anglican minister, hadn't even yet been saved. Came back over the Atlantic, got back there in England, and heard a Moravian stand up and read the introduction to the book of Galatians. His heart was strangely warmed and became a Christian. What are you doing? But you say, I'm an Anglican. Indeed. What profit it to be an Anglican? Much every way. Don't you have the Book of Common Prayer? Common Book of Prayer? Well, what's it speak of? It speaks of Jesus Christ. We be an Episcopalian. We have always been Episcopalians. Well, Abraham's our father. Christ said to the Jews, if Abraham were your father, you'd do the works of your father. Why do you go about to try and kill me? You're not Abraham's seed. You're a Jewish seed, but you're not spiritual Jewish seed. Well, I'm a Methodist. Indeed. And what of your father, John? Well, we're Episcopalian. And what of the ritual? Not ritual, righteousness. Have you come to his righteousness? You say, but I've been a Lutheran. Indeed, you've been a Lutheran. The just shall live by faith. Let me ask you, just how are you living? We have Martin for our father. Martin Luther for our father. Indeed. And what did your father tell you? He said, the just man shall live only by the righteousness of God, not by anything I say or do, but by what I have found in Jesus Christ, your righteousness. Yeah, but I'm a Baptist. So was I. I've been baptized. Indeed, the scripture says repent and baptized. Have you been repenting as well as baptized? So it's neither the last rites or baptism or laying out of hands or confirmation or anointing with oil, which we do here, or the catechism or any of these other things which have a valid biblical place in their own context. But I'm asking you, if Paul wept over the Hebrews, what would he do over you and me? What have your privileges brought you to do? Not that they weren't given to you and me, But if it would be Abraham's seed, it won't come through ritual. They had the covenants, they had the promises, they had the patriarchs, they had the Ten Commandments, they had Moses, they had the tables of stone with God's handwriting on it. And they're going around saying, we'd be Abraham's seed. We'd be Methodists. We'd be Lutherans. We'd be Catholics. Why? We even go to Trinity Church. We have all the truth. Don't you know that? All the truth of Trinity Church. Baptism, lordship, union life, gifts of the Holy Ghost, grace of the Holy Ghost, missions. We got it all. What are you doing with it? What am I doing with it? What profit is there? Much every way. If you repent and believe. Is it? See, the Bible is not something that's way over there for people that are ready to die in a dusty land. The Bible is more contemporary than the Sunday morning paper that's in your mailbox waiting for you to read it when you get home. It's true. Now, the good news is, come unto me, all you weak and heavy laden. Christ says, and I will give you rest. And if you have repented and believed in Jesus Christ, you are the seed of Abraham. All right? Now, dear, now that you're all saved, and those that aren't are going to be all the Methodists, Lutherans, Congregationalists, Episcopalians, everybody else. So that's the beautiful thing about having an interdenominational church. Just sweep the whole platform. Sweep it all. Fourth and last point. It's the biggie, okay? Now that you're a child of God, all you dear children of God here, they all repented and believed 5 years ago. I was saved at Trinity. I was saved at Billy Graham. I was reading a book. My friend told me, and I repented. Praise God. Now that you're a seed of Abraham, Abraham is your father by spiritual example. He's called the father of all them that believe. He's standing there, and he says, he's got a wife who's married years and years. Nobody can have a family. And he's standing there with his staff, and God says, you're going to have a family? Yeah. Right on. And a lot of nations coming out of you, yeah, right on. I'm just going to have to happen here, because where are we going? I don't believe this. Woo, the Lord keeps saying, I'm telling you, Abraham, yeah, I know you love me, Lord, but this is too much. He says, yeah, I said, look, I'm going to make an oath. Oh, really? Well, maybe then. But Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness, and because he believed, all the rest happened. Now, you're Abraham's seed. Abraham was your father. He looked around, the only thing you see was a disappointment. His wife was 90. Don't tell me she's going to have a baby. He's 100. He says, I'm like an old tree. Are you kidding? But his faith didn't look that. Everything he saw visually didn't help him. His spirit had to see the Father in heaven promising these things, and he believed God. He kept believing God. He was not weak in faith, but he kept on hoping, which is a form of faith and believing God that would happen, and it happened. Because God had promised, faith was quick, and he kept going when there was no visible signs to encourage him. Now you're Abraham's seed. So it means that you don't go just by the visible. The visible, we don't deny reality, we deny the finality of our circumstances. We don't deny the reality of our circumstances, we deny the finality of them. All right? Now, you're the seed of Abraham. One man standing there, you're going to be a blessing to all the world. In you and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Guess what? You're his seed. Guess what? In you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's what? Five times God says it and puts an oath behind it. And that's why we're giving out to missions from Omaha to wherever. That is the job of the seed of Abraham, backed five times with an oath. Hallelujah. See it? You see it? In you and in your seed, not fleshly Israel and not fleshly Arabs. They that are Christ are the seed of Abraham. And in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Be blessed. God's behind this thing. With an oath, no less. Now, as we send out the gospel, we're sending the seed, Jesus Christ, to be planted. And we'll take a faith offering next week. We'll talk about it. We're going to go to missions. We plant the seed, all the nations of the earth. Now, don't look for missions in Matthew 28, 19, and 20. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. It's there. And I've preached on it, and I've shared it with you. But it's not the beginning there. Let me ask you something. Was Paul a good missionary? Yeah. Mamma mia, yeah. Was Peter a good missionary? Mamma mia, yeah. Were the 10 other apostles good missionaries? Oh, mamma mia, yeah. Where do you think they got the idea of it? Well, they got that word from Matthew 28. No, they didn't. Well, Mark 16 says, go preach the gospel to all the world. And no, they didn't. Hear me. This blew my cranium, okay? You will not find once, not even so much as once, not so much as half of once, where Paul or Peter or any other apostle ever used the Great Commission once in the whole New Testament. Now once! And they had a pretty good missionary program. Covered the whole Roman world in 200 years. Where do you think they got it? 2,000 years before Matthew 28 was spoken, they got it from Hebrews, from Genesis, the promise of God, in you and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And those Jewish people who are Jewish by nature and spiritual Jews by heart saw in the promises to Abraham, and that's why you read in Galatians that by faith the promises of Abraham should come unto you. That in his seed, you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And Peter and Paul took one look at the promises of Abraham. They knew them. They said, well, hallelujah. We see the real meaning is to get the seed, Jesus, out to all the world, that we are a spiritual seed, and through us shall be the blessings to all the world. And that, my friends, is the beginning of missions, and you find it in Genesis, beginning chapter 12. So I never knew that before. I never knew it either. But it just blew my mind away. Not that Matthew 28, the words of our Lord, don't have meaning. Not that Mark 16 doesn't have meaning. Our Lord was simply coming along in the flow of 2,000 years, added his own words in confirmation of what he said to Abraham way back there, and went back up to heaven and said, now go on with it. I'm in your heart to do it. See it? That's neat stuff. You're a seed, aren't you? Yeah. Guess what? You're going to be a blessing to the world. That's what. Well, I don't know if I'm up to this. Who is your father? Well, we're just a little church. I don't know. What are you talking about? We're talking about Abraham, who stood there with a staff and a robe on, and God says, I'm going to have nations come out of your dried up old body. So he did. Look at that world map. When you go out there today, you look at it. It's right over there. I moved the divan out, had Brother Mort put some lights in and shine on that big old map. And you go see what country God wants to lay in your heart to pray for. The first thing we're going to do for every nation in the world, every major nation, we'll get down to the minor ones later, is to have a prayer missionary. Every nation from this congregation, because in you, and you, and you, and you, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You say, well, I'm only 13. Hey, do you love Christ? Yeah. Can you pray a little bit? Then you'll get one. You're not junk. You come in here and your life's been smashed around, thrown around, and you think you're not worth anything. I want to tell you, your loving Father in heaven who loves you and gave his son for you says, I want to give you a worldwide ministry. You will be a blessing to the world. I know what Coca-Cola is going to do for you, Northern Natural, all these companies. They're not going to give you a worldwide ministry. You want to work for them and get good bucks? Do it. But I'm telling you, I'm the only one in this world that can give each of my children a worldwide ministry. That's what I'm talking about. And man, if you want to feel fulfilled, if you think you're not worth anything, ponder that. Tell me who can give you a worldwide ministry except Jesus Christ. Tell me who can give you meaning to your bucks and your life and your planning. And you can, by the Spirit of God in prayer, touch any world you want. And God wants you to. His oath is there and his promise is there. And that's why we're here. I don't care whether you're 12 or 92. I don't care if you went to college or didn't go to college. Male and the female, bond, Scythian, free, slave, God says in one, in Christ, you're all one. In his seed, it didn't say the rich seed or the poor seed. It didn't say in the educated seed or the not educated seed. But in your spiritual seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Amen. And amen. Now what are we going to do? You're going to take that little folder I gave you, that little insert, and you can see what it says. And you say, now don't just rush out there and grab a country. Just say, Lord, what country should I be praying for? 5 to 10 minutes a day for 1 year. That's where we begin. And you check off one of those countries. And you give it to the usher on the way out. Put your name and address here. We'll give you a packet on February 17th with information about that nation. You see, and some have, well, I'm interested in another nation. God's been laying the nation of outside of Europe on my heart. Fine, there's a space there for that. Other country. And you're going to begin praying because you're Abraham's seed and you're really Christ's seed, but that's what God called you. And in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And as we give our faith offering next week and each month, we're going to be a blessing to the whole world in some fashion. In some fashion. When I think of the need, it looks very little. But when I see the opportunity to obey, it's something to do. We're going to do what we can do to the glory of the Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Now, let me say, dear ones, what profit is there being a Catholic, a Methodist, a Lutheran, a Congregationalist, Episcopalian, a Baptist? What profit? Much every way, if you see the Lamb of God. Whether you're raised in a synagogue, or whether you're raised in a Protestant church or a Roman church, it matters not to me or to the Lord. What matters is, do you see your Savior? Behold the Lamb of God, your sin sacrifice, who died for the sins of the world, that you can become a blessing to all the world by giving yourself to Him. Your world, including your neighbors, the people world that's close to you, we may never see an Albanian or a Lithuanian or someone from Irian Jaya, but I do see that man in front of me, that neighbor in front of me, he's a real man, a real woman, his family's there, that's part of my field. But the point is also, if you're not yet in Christ, then all the light that God's given you and all the privileges God's given you, all the truth God shared with you, have yet to be meaningful to you because you must repent and believe and give yourself to Him. And that's where it starts. Shall we stand quietly, please, right where we are? You have a need of comfort or consolation. If you need to have someone to pray with you concerning a physical need for your body, if you're out of a job, whatever. If you need to, you know, you need to repent and give yourself to Christ today, we're going to sing this chorus through once. Just come to the altars for prayer, and we'll have someone to help you as long or short a time as you want, because the Lord Jesus wants to bless you and help you to Himself and then through you to others, but first of all to you. So whatever your need may be, we're going to sing it through once. I'm not going to prolong the invitation. Just come as we're singing, and we'll be here to help along with the elders. For He is Lord. Oh, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee. Precious Father, help them to see that the promise made to Abraham is made to us, that upon us have the ends of the world come, every privilege of the Jew and every enlightenment of the Gentile in the New Testament. And so we stand before the glory and the clarity of your wonderful opportunities today. Let none move away, Lord. Be with every young man who has heard the scriptures today in a new way. Be with every young man who's been gripped by the Spirit of Christ today. He doesn't even know that's what's happening. He finds his mind is arrested. There's some discomfort. He feels guilty, and yet he knows that what's being said is true. Speak to that young man, Lord, and may he repent. May his pride not get in the way. May he put it to one side. May he realize that this is my moment, that God has spoken to me as surely as He spoke to Abraham. Help him, Lord, to identify that this is not just conscience. It's not just a leftover sermon, but rather the loving Lord Jesus by His Holy Spirit is addressing his spirit and gripping his attention, bringing him to repentance, asking him to turn that he may become a child of God. Grant, Lord, that he will seek you today. In Jesus' matchless name, amen.